And with those words and that prayer, just from our heart tonight, we would say, may the one that the psalmist spoke of as the one that is the lifter up of my head, may he draw near and bless you tonight. And may he lift up your head. And the psalmist was one that knew what it was to have a head that was hanging down. And so if you know him, if you're walking with him, may he lift up your head tonight to even greater heights of joy and faithfulness. And if tonight you are one that does not know him, the one we've sang about, heard about, may he lift up your head that you could see through eyes of faith. The one who died to bring you life and to bring you abundant life. So tonight we'd like to greet you in the name of the one that one of the writers of the inspired Word of God was writing about when he said, of him who in the days of his flesh, it's talking about Jesus when he was here on earth, he had left the glories of heaven and came down to earth. Amazing as it is, the incarnation, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who in the days of his flesh, Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And again, we would love to have someone expound to us some of the things we see in that verse. And he goes on to say in verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And that's a tremendous portion of Scripture. So it's in his name we greet you tonight. And I think those verses have a connection with what's on our heart tonight to endeavor to share with you. And may the Lord, as he did that day when he took a few little loaves and a few little fishes, and he multiplied it and fed 5,000 plus people, may he be pleased to draw near tonight and to bless you, that you can be fed into where you have sufficient and there's even some left over, as it were. It takes his presence, his grace and power for that to happen. We pray that he would do that as he looks down from heaven tonight. What does he see? What has grabbed his attention? What is he focused on more than anything else? One of you, I don't remember just at the moment who it was that shared with me something about what is the apple of his eye. And that means what's the most important? What is he focused on? Is it the billions of stars that he made and the moon and the universe and the smallest insects, the crickets? Or is it you? And of course, all that is kept in control, and by his power, he is in control. But may you know tonight that you are like the focus of his eye, the apple of his eye. And he sees you, and he sees where you are tonight, and he knows all about what's going on in that little heart of yours. He knows if it's black, if it's white. He knows if there's joy there or if there's sorrow. He knows if there's bitterness. He knows just what is there. And so may he be pleased to draw near and again minister to your heart and whatever the need there might be. And so we would invite you tonight to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And I would like if we could stand tonight for this scripture reading. We would like to begin reading at verse 39, Luke 22. That's if you want to stand. If it's difficult to stand, you may certainly remain seated. Luke 22, we want to begin reading at verse 39. And here again, we are still looking at things that took place on this great day of atonement. I was glad to find out that one of our beloved young men, Azariah Moore, is able to blow that chauffeur. And Lord willing, I don't know if it'll work out, but if he's here Sunday evening in our final service, I would really enjoy having him come up here and blow that horn for us, that shofar rather, and again in sign of the great Jubilee, and today being the day of salvation, and the acceptable year of the Lord. I look forward to that, or someone to blow that, as it were, just again in symbol of what we have and what took place in this great day of atonement. And so we're reading again tonight from something that took place on this day, this great day of atonement. Luke 22, verse 39 and following, "And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him." This is speaking of Jesus. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, If thou be willing." And this is part of, I think, the prayer that was coming from his heart and lips, that we read that verse in Hebrews that spoke about a time when he cried with supplication, crying in tears. And his prayer was, "To his Father in heaven, remove this cup from me." He continued to pray. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I pray that tonight, till the close of this service, that could be our prayer as it relates to each one of our individual lives and what we face. Verse 43, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Can I just insert here? It was a blessing today to hear the testimony of a young, virtuous daughter of the Lord that witnessed the presence of angels when she was in great danger. And when there was something happening, someone actually pulled a knife on her, and she sensed and saw, as it were, and knew that there were angels there protecting her. That was a blessing to hear. And here, there were angels that came and strengthened the Creator. How do you explain that? Verse 44, "And being in an agony," that was Jesus, "he prayed more earnestly," something that denotes our attention, "and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." He was perspiring. It was intense. He was heavy. He knows what that is. Verse 45, "And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captain of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." You may be seated. This is your hour and the power of darkness. And tonight, by the grace of God, we would like to look at the subject of being victorious in the hour of darkness. And last evening we thought of being a victorious Christian, and this we could think of as there's a connection with that message, and this is like a sub-message, as it were, under that message. Being victorious in the hour of darkness. What a challenge. The Lord Jesus has left us here. And we're thinking, as we talk about the hour of darkness tonight, we're not talking about it just getting dark and the sun going down. We're talking about what has happened in your life that has been like darkness. It has been difficult. It is hard. It is that which you have cried about and prayed about when no one else was awake in the middle of the night, and it was just you, and you wept and you cried and it hurt so badly, and no one on earth really knows the intensity of the darkness that you have faced. And tonight, where are we with those things, and how will we go from here? When we were living in Belgium, one of the things we noticed was it seemed, the emotional makeup and feeling of people. And you know, we can be too emotional, that's true. But God created us with emotion. It's a part of our being that's an important part of who we are. We were living among people that had seen bloodshed like probably none of us ever have. Many wars and battles were fought in the area of Ypres and Poperinge of Belgium. And especially the older people, it seemed that that affected them in a very adverse way. Because in general, it was not people that were able to take these things to the one that we just read about and lay them at his feet. And some of the things that you could see from those people was a closeness, emotions that were covered and hid and pressed down and not expressed. And they were not willing to express those emotions. And when we do that, it results normally, too many times, in a coldness, a hardness, a closeness that is not healthy for our spiritual life and to the glory of God. In the evening, shutters on the windows were closed. Crime rate was very low. It wasn't to keep the thieves out. It was to keep out anyone from being able to come in and have a look in my heart and what really is going on there. And tonight, that's a part of the burden on my heart. And God alone knows how it is on these chairs here tonight. And how many of us have closed shutters tonight on the door of our heart. And we don't want anyone to know. Or it's been so painful. We haven't been able to express it. And we know it takes a balance and the grace of God. But can we cry? Or has it been so hard and so difficult that we can't even weep about it? We can't bring it to the Lord. We've prayed 70 times 7 and it didn't seem anything changed. It was still so hard and we're still faced with it. And it's still so painful. And those things are real. And I know not everyone has the same experience, but those things are real life. And I know life is real enough in Holmes County, Ohio, that you have those kinds of things happening. And some of you have even shared, you know, things that are so, so painful in the day in which we live. Reminds me of recently, there was an article in Georgia Farm Bureau News. And in that article, it said that in America, I think it was 139, on the average, 139 people a day die from opioid overdoses. And how terribly tragic is that? It's 1,000+ stories. But I think of a father in Indiana that just recently, he went through a divorce with his wife. And of course, that's extremely painful. He was not able to pay his child support and all the things that happened there. And so what did he do? The day came, he had a 15-year-old son, a 13-year-old daughter. He takes up arms. He kills his son, he kills his daughter, and he kills himself. Now, I hope none of us here tonight would ever, ever do anything like that. But the question is, the thought is how is it in my heart? Is there an emotional coldness in my heart tonight? Or am I able to cry and bring to the Lord those hurts and pains that have been so difficult and so hard? And bless you for those of you that have been doing that. And there, again, are so many stories. But we are thinking tonight, again, we think of Jesus' perfect example. Victory in the hour of darkness, during His darkest hours on earth. Isn't it just amazing what He did? One of His disciples coming to Him right during this difficult time when He had just prayed and cried with strong crying and tears. And a disciple comes and with a kiss betrays Him. And you know, the Bible brings out to us that Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Amazing. One of the disciples takes his sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. And what does Jesus do? Does he think, you know, he's just thinking about his situation, how dark it is? And I hope tonight, before this is over, we can illustrate something that brings out the difference of how it is if we are followers of Jesus with emotional pain, or if we are lost in our world and the shutters are closed tonight. And I pray the Lord would help us tonight to open the shutters of our heart and bring it to the Lord and be able to weep about it and bring it to Him and have soft and tender hearts. Those things not brought to the Lord cause us again to become cold, hardened, confused. May we not be like eagles that at sometimes in their life they have a buildup of calcium on their feet and they go into the wilderness, as it were. And if something doesn't happen with that buildup of calcium on their feet and it isn't released and gotten rid of, they're going to die in the wilderness. And I pray we would not die in the wilderness, but that we would die with the Lord, in the Lord, on the mountain with the Lord, as it were, singing the song of the redeemed that the brother helped us sing tonight. The song of the Lord, the one that gives songs in the night, the Bible tells us. May He bless you tonight and minister to your needs and give you a song in the night. And so we also see Jesus during this hour of darkness. He said, you know, this is your hour and the power of darkness. So in that hour of darkness, again, we see Jesus hanging on the cross, ministering to a thief right beside Him. And that is such a challenge when we are going through our hour of darkness. Are we just engrossed in self-pity and just thinking about ourselves? Or can we, like Jesus, look to minister grace even at times like that? Suffering does something for us nothing else can do. Suffering prepares us to minister if we allow it to. But on the other hand, suffering can cause us to close the shutters on the door of our heart and not share and not open to the Lord. And we are not who God wants us to be. And we pray that the Lord would touch our hearts tonight. And the emotional pain that we have, you know, if you would have the choice tonight as adults, you could have a cut on your finger, a cut, emotional cut in your heart. We would choose having our finger cut, because there is nothing that hurts like emotional pain. And so we draw from Jesus' perfect example. While hanging on the cross, something else He did in His hour of darkness. You know, the very people that were instrumental in putting Him there and nailing Him to the cross as, what? The worst of criminals, only the worst of criminals. Now, wouldn't that be something if, you know, okay, this is just, I hadn't thought of this. This is so tiny, tiny. Let's say someone else. Let's say you had someone come from out of state somewhere and they came to preach for you for 2 weeks and giving themselves and serving and ministering, and a whole band of people decide to get together and this wicked man, they're going to, you know, destroy him, kill him like the worst of criminals are killed. We can't imagine how painful that was. And I think one of the most painful things must have been, it would have, seems like it would have been, as Jesus was hanging on that cross, you know, people went by wagging their heads and they said something like this, you know, hanging there, if God will have him, let him come deliver him right now. Such pain. Emotional pain. I believe is more painful than physical pain for adults. And yet, He said, Father, His prayer was for those very people. And we draw from that tonight, that perfect example. Can you, can I, can we, when we are experiencing the most painful experience of our life, can we bless those around us? Can we say with Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. They really don't know the extent of how bad what they just said hurts me. And so, just bless them, Father. Jesus said we should pray for our enemies and bless those, even someone that would curse us. What do? You bless them. And that's why I think tonight we can say, bless you and bless everyone. And it's just so amazing. And there's something else that just blesses us to think of what Jesus did. Hanging on the cross, there was the mother, Mary, that bore, you know, that birthed him, the Son of God, into this world. And there she is. And he's there, he's hanging there, and people are looking at him as the worst criminal, dying with thieves. In their opinion, the Jews, he's finally getting what he deserves as he's crucified there. And Jesus speaks and he says to John, behold thy mother. And that's just so blessing. I hope one evening, Lord willing, we can have a message especially for you mothers and wives, Lord willing. It just blesses us that Jesus, during that hour of darkness, he cared for Mary. And the Bible tells us in the book of John, from that hour she went and was with John. From that hour, John just became the caretaker of Mary. I would say, you as mothers, you know, you're blessed of the Lord, and the Lord sees you and notes you, and all sisters as far as that goes. And Lord willing, we were planning tonight, I hope, to even share a few things to those that God would maybe be calling into singlehood. Singlehood. What does that mean? That means maybe living like Paul lived. Maybe not getting married, at least not for a long, long time. Is that okay? That's emotionally painful. And that's a time when many people will give up the faith. They throw it all to the wind. They can't handle not being married. And I pray that won't happen to you. We draw some examples from the Bible and some beautiful examples. And you can be that person. It's, you know, there's someone very likely in your life that you look up to and you admire as being a real man or woman of God. If the truth were known, very likely that is a person that has experienced deep emotional pain and hurt and difficulty in life, but has brought it to the Lord and continues to work through it. Not perfectly, but daily, daily, day by day. And that person is a seasoned, graceful person. That person can feel with you. That person hurts when you hurt. That person isn't a proud person living his life and just hoping you make it out. You make it along somehow. That is a person that knows what pain is. He's a person that also can be touched. But above all, of course, it is Jesus. The Bible tells us he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For he was tempted in all points like as we are. He knew what it was to be rejected and forsaken. I'm thankful that in the dark hour of Jesus' life on earth that he told John, behold thy mother, and Mary was taken care of. He didn't miss a thing. The thief on the cross, he was able to be redeemed. What a challenge. That is victory in the hour of darkness. And so when you're going through the darkest moment of your life, that the Lord can use you to be able to be a blessing to someone around you, that is just, that takes the grace of God. That is glory. I pray that would be you. Victory in the hour of darkness. Don't allow the devil to make you waste your trials or waste your hour of darkness. Let's not allow it to make us cold and hard. Last evening, I shared about an hour of darkness in my life. That wasn't the only hour of darkness I've ever experienced. I wanted to say that for me, that hour of darkness was just, for me, it was just a personal struggle I had, a private personal struggle I had. It wasn't fornication or adultery, and yet it was failure in life, of course, but a personal private struggle. And one time, a failure in my private life when I was alone, no one around. And just like that, just like a ton of bricks poured out on me. And I struggled before that with having an overly sensitive conscience. And tonight, I know that it's very possible in these seats there to be someone, more than one, be many, with an overly sensitive conscience. Our conscience is so important. It's an avenue for God to speak to us through. But our conscience is not perfect. And just as it is possible for some one of us to be sitting here tonight and have a seared conscience, and whatever can be preached or taught, the songs can be sung, and we push it off. We don't want to hear it. Just so, on the other side, can be someone here tonight that hopes I don't preach about fire and brimstone and all the judgment of God because it troubles you. Not because you want to live a rebellious, sinful life, but because you struggle with fear. The fear that you can't be saved. And that was my struggle. The fear that a failure I had in just my private life alone. It wasn't anyone else around and just me. That you know, it was too much. That God would not forgive me for that. And I'd like to just, you know, share with you. I appreciate it. Someone even gave a suggestion today that I could, you know, share the verse. Remember last night, the bat, the Word of God. It was a day that I felt I had to know. If I am really without hope, then I wanted to know it. If there's hope for me, I wanted to know it. And marvelously, the Lord, this verse, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. I just share it for you tonight. God saying, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And God used that verse. It was the bat, the sword of the Spirit in my life, and the ball was hit out of the court, and it was gone. And I felt free. And never again has it been like that. And so I'm just thankful I can share that this evening in that way. But I know, you know, having an overly sensitive conscience can be an hour of darkness in our life. And it's something the devil can use against us. And I pray that would not be that way. It can cause emotional pain and suffering also that is very difficult. And so for you tonight, as it relates to this message and what we just read about what Jesus did, if I desire anything for you, it is that you might have victory in your hour of darkness. You see, you've had one. As adults, you've had one. Maybe it's not the biggest one you've ever had. And maybe another one is just across the hill. Some of you here tonight know about what the songwriter was talking about when he wrote, "Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me?" I think I have that here somewhere, something about the person that wrote that song. Yes. Where did it come from? Where did that song come from? Did it come from someone that never experienced emotional pain? Absolutely not. It came from a minister that felt terrific emotional pain. And to the point that he almost, you know, he just almost questioned the goodness of God. It reminds me of sometimes, you know, I think I jotted that down today. A question I've been asked. Why? Someone asked this question, honestly. It wasn't a sinful person. It was someone that's endeavoring to walk with the Lord. But an honest question. Why does God enjoy making us suffer? How do you answer that, Brother Levon? It was an honest question. It's not an easy question to answer. And they went on to say, why do some people have such difficult experiences? And on these chairs tonight, oh, only the Lord knows what all stories could be shared and how difficult it can be. But even so, the person that wrote this song, he went through a terrific test. But he thought about this verse, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And that's what we must do over and over again. And there we find relief. There we find comfort. Then we can cry. Then we can feel. If I close the window of my heart to those things, I'm not going to be able to minister to the next person. It's when I allow the Lord to minister to that need in my life that then, just like this person, he came to the Lord, he brought it to the Lord, and then he could write this song. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Some of us here tonight, I expect dread nighttime, or at least have had those experiences. Notice this verse. In sharing His heart, pouring out His emotional pain, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Some of you know what that is. You've prayed for victory. You wanted victory. You didn't want to fail again. And it happened again. And you prayed through the night, and you didn't feel instant relief. He breaks out, having worked through that emotional pain, with saying, oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And right there is where I pray we would get. And that we would not close the shutters of the window of our hearts if there's pain there. Emotional pain that needs to be brought to Jesus. We turn to Mark chapter 6, and we notice something very amazing that happened there. Notice verse 45 and following, just breaking in here. And straightway He constrained His disciples. Jesus constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida while He sent the people away. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And dropping down verse 48, He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night He cometh unto them. I asked Bertha today, which would be the most fitting title for this message tonight? Victory in the hour of darkness or the fourth watch of the night? And so I chose victory in the hour of darkness, but I want you to notice the fourth watch of the night. It's the last watch of the night. What was happening here? And what is amazing to me is, and something we draw from, Jesus constrained the disciples. There's other gospels bring it out. Jesus told them to do, told them to get in that ship and go to the other side. And sometimes you in your life, you have endeavored to obey the Lord and follow the leading of the Lord. And what happened? It seems if you obey the Lord, it ought to be smooth sailing across the Sea of Galilee, not? And here they are rowing and toiling. Different of the Gospels bring out, I mean, the wind was contrary. It was tempestuous. And their life, as it were, was in danger. And the Lord Himself had told them to do exactly what they were doing. And I think we should draw from that tonight. Even responding to the voice of the Lord in your life doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. I have some balloons in that room. I don't have any up here. If I would, I might would want to blow one up. And it's just, you can picture it in your mind. You know, you have this balloon, something you're praying about, something you did pray about. And you know, you think that's the Lord's leading. Here is a sign. It seems this is His will for my life. And so it's like you blow some air in that balloon. And you're happy about it. And pretty soon there's another step. It seems the Lord is leading you another step further. You know what I mean? And it's like a little more air in that balloon. And a little more air in that balloon. And it just looks to you like this is the leading of the Lord. And you're walking in that way. And suddenly one day, it's just like you took a pin and you puncture that balloon and there's a big explosion, a pop, and it's gone. Some of you, I'm confident, know what that kind of experience is. And then what are we going to do with that? And where are we tonight? Have we allowed it to close a shutter of our heart? Would we be afraid for someone to see tonight how I really feel about that experience? And it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean, you know, just we're not saying just get over it. That's not the answer. The answer is being able to bring that pain, that hurt, to the feet of Jesus. There was a sinner woman from the city. I'm sure she knew what emotional pain was. Very likely a woman that was whose life was basically destroyed by wicked men, possibly. We don't know all those details, but she came to Jesus and she wept at His feet. And that's what we need to do. We don't want to not weep and just close the door to expressing to the Lord that emotional pain and hurt. How is it that in 1972, my first cousin, Bertha Yoder, married 4 weeks to the day? Her husband went to the barn to milk the cows early one morning. She was in the house, in the mobile home. It had not yet been anchored down. And very quickly, before her husband could get back to the mobile home, just 500 feet from the barn, a tornado came through. And Bertha, my cousin, wants to escape, evidently, and starts out, and the wind blows the mobile home over on Bertha, and life is gone. I was a young boy, 11 years old. She was a beautiful young bride. She could sing like amazingly. As a child, when Mom and Daddy left, we would go to Rufus's house. And one of the fondest memories I have is her with her two sisters singing in the kitchen. Just amazingly. And just that quick, her life was gone. But what I remember most about that occasion is someone taking on that mobile home that's rolled over, had taken the life of a young bride 4 weeks to the day. And they wrote on that mobile home, God is love. At 11 years of age, I couldn't understand how anybody could do that. I didn't understand how you could look at that mobile home and even think of that. It was so painful and so hard. And yet, and I don't know to this day who did it, but I thank the Lord that someone knew what emotional pain was and how to take it to the Lord and knew what to do about it and was able to write on that flipped over mobile home that God is love. It helped me work through those difficulties. In Psalm 55, verse 22, the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. Listen to the words of the Bible. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. In Matthew 15, we have the picture of a woman that comes to Jesus. And how do you explain this? She comes not for herself, but for her daughter. And she's pleading for Jesus to do something for her daughter that's overtaken with the powers of darkness and evil. And Jesus says, I am come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And how many times when we have sensed something maybe that we thought comes from the Lord in that way, then we just close the shutters on the door of our heart. And then we just live the rest of our life like that. I pray that your emotional pain will not define who you're going to be for the rest of your life. I don't know if it's okay to mention names here and something that I'd love to share or not. Maybe I shouldn't, because I didn't ask someone if I could. But here tonight, there's examples of individuals that have worked through emotional pain. And they're here tonight. The pain that they experienced is not defining who they're going to be and how they're going to live the rest of their life, because they bring it to the Lord. This woman was not turned away, and she kept bringing it to the Lord. She was still looking for that verse from the Bible that she could use the bat, as it were, the sword of the Spirit to get an answer. And so she keeps pleading. And there's some words, even something like this, you know, about something that could make you think in the way of a person almost being like a dog. I don't know how to explain all that. And what does this woman do? Does she turn and close the shutters of her heart and live the rest of her life experiencing that emotional pain? No. She says, "But Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall to the ground under the table." And I pray you would do that with your pain. That you would take it to the Lord in the way that woman did. And you would not turn away until there's an answer. Singlehood. We like to talk about Isaac and Rebekah. It's an amazing love story. And we can draw illustrations from that for wedding messages. It's very good. There's another person that went with Rebekah. Her name was Deborah. She was Rebekah's nurse. She wasn't going to a faraway land to be someone's wife. She was a nurse. Bless Deborah. You can turn to, you read that she went along in Genesis 24. You can turn to Genesis 35 and you see the day that Deborah died. And there was weeping, or she was buried. In Genesis 35, it tells us she was buried under the oak barrack or something like that. It meant oak of weeping. I believe Deborah was a wonderful nurse. And Brother Irvin Hershberger years ago put this together. As it relates to singlehood. And God calls most people to marriage. But I pray there would be no one here tonight that would maybe reach the ages of an older age and not having been called into marriage, that you would, you know, be just close the shutters of your heart and throw away biblical principles and go live your life so you can sure find someone that would be your partner. I think that has happened too many times, and may it not happen to you. Brother Irvin Hershberger said, "It requires a stronger character to successfully cope with the many problems of life alone than to meet those issues with the help and moral support of a good companion. For some of us, God may have provided companions not on the basis of our worthiness, but because He knew that we were not capable of facing life alone. Others may be called to a single life, not because they are unworthy of a companion, but for their outstanding qualities which enable them to serve the Lord just as they are." Just love it. If God calls someone in marriage, that's beautiful. But it is just beautiful when someone lives a life of singlehood and they're not feeling left out and they're just serving the Lord wherever they are. A few more examples of victory in the hour of darkness. Mama and Daddy both are gone. Mama died October 2016. As we were going through their things, Mama loved poems and songs and books like that she just had through the house. We found these little books. Annie Johnson Flint, who is she? I have to quickly just tell you briefly. This is a story of Annie Johnson Flint. How did these books come around to be? Who was she? Did she have an easy life? Annie Johnson Flint. When she was 3 years old, her mother was having her sister, and her mother died when she was 3 years old. Her daddy was a sick man, and so he just gave his two little girls to the Flint family. That's why it's Annie Johnson Flint. She was a Johnson, but at like 3 years of age, she became a Flint because her mom and daddy could not take care of her, and soon her daddy died. They were orphans. She was still a very young girl when her step-parents both died. And there she was, facing life, a very poor girl. She thought God was leading her to be a teacher. She had a heart for being a teacher. She loved to teach. She was following the Lord, being a teacher. It didn't last long until something started happening in her body. And her body started cramping up. And there was arthritis. And to the point of, there's actually a picture of her in a wheelchair. And her fingers were all crinkled up and cramped and curved and turned. She couldn't straighten out. In fact, people that knew her in this story, it said they just couldn't hardly see how she could even hold a pen in her hands. Annie Johnson Flint had to give up school teaching. She would have loved to have been a teacher. But did that define who she was going to be the rest of her life? Absolutely not. She started writing hymns and songs. And here we have three beautiful booklets written by Annie Johnson Flint. And you know some of the things that she wrote. You know that poem, God Hath Not Promised Skies Always Blue? Annie Johnson Flint, as I understand, is the author of that poem. I won't take time to read that, but this one I would like to read by Annie Johnson Flint. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. Now, isn't that just beautiful? I think that should touch our heart tonight. Coming from a person that experienced that, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. To me, it's so challenging. Victory in the hour of darkness. Annie Flint. This is another story. I guess I just don't have time really to share much of this with you. This is Edith Yoder, a part of her story. Another person that some of you may know her. You might know her story. She was born and then she had problems with her eyesight. And it just got worse and worse. Edith Yoder knows what it is to be going through a Walmart with a walking cane and having someone bump in her and having the person respond to her and tell her she needs to watch where she's going. She knows the emotional pain that goes with losing her eyesight and feeling like she's being put into a prison and crying and praying. She knows what it's like to be vacuuming the floor and living in her own home, taking care of herself, but finally her eyesight getting so bad she's vacuuming the floor and one too many times a vacuum cleaner bumps into furniture and she falls on the floor and sobs before the Lord and cries out to the Lord. And it's just amazing story and how she worked through it and didn't let it define who she was going to be and how the Lord opened doors for her to minister. I would like to share this little illustration this evening. And I would say, for all of us as adults here, we've experienced emotional pain in one way or another. And I'd like to take two jars and put them up here tonight. And in both of these jars, we're going to put some white substance. Something white in both jars. And those jars represent you. One or the other. In the one jar, we're going to put something that's kind of like a fluff. It's a white fluff material. It's just kind of fluffy. It's just kind of soft. And in the other jar, we want to put something that is put together under 870 pounds of pressure per square inch. 870 in general, approximately, right at that. to produce this substance. You put 40 pounds of pressure in a tire, that's a good bit of pressure. 870. And it has a message for us this evening, in my opinion. It at least speaks to me. In my emotional pain that I experience, I will be represented by one of these jars this evening. Now, I hope this will work. It has worked many times for me. I hope it's going to work tonight. And then the thing for us to consider is, which of these is a type of who I am? Which of these jars shows who I am? This is plain water. And we're going to pour it into those jars. And that is the experiences you've had in your life that were painful and hard. That's what this is. It's like water pouring down. And it's, you know, it's like you wish you wouldn't have to experience it, but it's there and it pours into your life. And so we're going to pour it into both of these and see what message we can get from this. There's one that's just sitting there. There's one that's full of self-pity. There's one that's just gelled up. There's one you can talk to, but there's nothing coming out. In fact, I think you can turn it upside down. There's a few words, just formal words, just cold words. How are you today? Hello. I hope you're okay. Would you be willing to have a devotional next Sunday morning? Well, I really need to do whatever else. Can you ask Brother John? There's nothing there much. The difficult experiences of life have made me cold and hard and confused. I'm just like that jar. And Jesus wants to do a work in your life. He wants to make you alive. There is something in that jar that is also white. But in that jar, there's life there, as it were. There's something coming out of that. I love the verse where Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I'm glad we can hold this up. And this in one's heart is what Jesus does. There's something coming from your life to bless that person. Even though you've lost your companion and you've lost your special boyfriend or girlfriend and whatever else happened yesterday. And people know it's so hard. But this is not you. And your experience in life, that's not going to define who you are. And that'll keep going right there for a long time, quite a while at least. And to me, it just blesses me. And tonight, so we just ask, you know, which one of these jars up here are an expression of you are who you are? I think all of us as adults are one or the other. In my life, is there something coming from me that will bless someone? Something that looks alive? Or am I gelled up tonight? And the shutters of my heart are closed. I don't want you to lay on your head, on your pillow tonight, with the shutter of your heart that's closed. I don't want you to do that. Jesus doesn't want you to do that. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And the Bible says, He shall sustain thee. Don't live with those hurts making you be a person God doesn't want you to be. The only way you can be like that jar that's going to keep flowing and putting out something good is to bring that to the Lord. And I pray you would do it tonight. And so even as we, could we sing tonight that song, "Just As I Am"? And you can do it in the hay barn. You can do it in your bedroom. You can do it in mama's daddy's bedroom. You can also do it here. In fact, you can do it right where you are. You can just kneel right there or up here or there. If you know that you're like that jar that's jailed up tonight, here are a few words. May the Lord break forth upon us here tonight and break our hearts before Him. Maybe hearts that have been hardened through the difficult experiences of life. And we would say, come, Lord Jesus, break my heart from what has caused me to be closed and confused. It's beautiful to remember that the Bible tells us a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. I pray that our emotional pain could be taken to the Lord so that we could be a person from which flow rivers of living water. We're going to sing, and if anyone is here tonight and you would like to have someone pray with you, share with you, there's emotional pain in your heart you would like to just confess and express, it's your opportunity as we sing to come to this room.